And a good afternoon. Time for another Taco Tuesday on Q92, where we get together with Amber Boyens, registered dietitian and nutritionist with ImmuNutrition right here in Madison, Minnesota. Amber, welcome to the studios once again. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's Food Allergy Awareness Week. You just informed me of that. I did not know that.
It is.
That's our topic for discussion today.
It is.
And I know your subject's kind of near and dear to your heart because you have two little guys.
I do.
Both of whom have... food allergies of one kind or another.
So they do.
That's kind of how you got interested in this, right?
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that I started ImmuNutrition in the first place is there's just not a lot of nutrition education for families who are dealing with food allergies. Even, you know, when we go through our nutrition education to become dietitians, we certainly talk about it. And any dietitian would be able to kind of help people figure out how to avoid it. But when it comes to, like, actually understanding food allergies, food allergy testing, food allergy treatment, all of that, it's kind of this own separate world. And I actually just recently finished my certification in pediatric food allergies. So we finished this month, kind of a timely completion of that project.
So you spent quite a bit of time looking into the subject.
That's right. So I thought today we could talk a little bit, just to kind of bring awareness to people about what food allergies are, because oftentimes that word allergy gets kind of used interchangeably with food intolerance or food sensitivity, and those are all different things. So a food allergy is different from an intolerance or a sensitivity in that it activates the immune system. So oftentimes they're called IgE-mediated food allergies, and IgE is one of the ways that our body can respond with its immune system. IgE is an indicator of food allergy. So typically in an intolerance or a sensitivity, we're not going to have that IgE type of response. So when we think about how we measure that, then how do we know if somebody has a food allergy? There's a couple different kinds of testing that you can do. There's skin testing, where a lot of people have gone and done kind of the scratch tests to see what they're allergic to. Just like they do for environmental allergens, mold, pet dander, all of that kind of stuff, they can do it for food allergies too. So skin testing is one route. The other route, which sometimes are done together, is blood testing. So actually looking at your blood levels for IgE to a certain food. Now, the tricky thing is sometimes you will show elevated IgE levels to a food. Like, let's say we do a blood draw and somebody shows elevated IgE levels to peanut. That doesn't necessarily mean they're allergic to it. That means that they are sensitized to it. So in addition to that elevated lab, we would want to see that they also have a reaction to that food before pulling it out. The reason for that is if somebody is sensitized, they have a high blood level, but they don't have a physical reaction to the food. If we pull that food out, we can actually increase the likelihood that they develop a true allergy. So that's why I always tell people, anytime somebody wants to come and talk to me about food allergies and they think that they have a food allergy, I encourage them to get testing done with a knowledgeable allergist to determine whether or not it's a true allergy. Because if we pull out foods that they're not allergic to, we can cause more harm than good. So we need a positive skin test or blood test plus that reaction.
And they'll probably be miserable because they won't have their favorite foods like peanuts, for example.
Well, and that's just it. That's tricky, isn't it? So peanuts are one of those top 9 allergens now. So it used to be the top 8 allergens, but just this year in 2023, we added in sesame. So when we talk about food labeling, sesame is now added to that list too.
About chickpeas?
Chickpeas are not on the list. Okay, those are not a top allergen. Most people can keep eating those. So peanuts, tree nuts. So tree nuts would be like walnuts, almonds, things like that. Fish, shellfish, eggs, dairy, wheat, soy, and now sesame. Those are our top 9. So some people wonder what a food allergy reaction might look like if they think they have a food allergy. Some people think of food allergies and they think of just like facial swelling, difficulty breathing, kind of those extremes. And that certainly is what it looks like for some people. It could be rashes or hives. It could be nausea and vomiting. Anaphylaxis, which again, most people think of that difficulty breathing, is anything that involves two systems. So if somebody has their skin, like develop hives, and then they also have vomiting, that would also be considered anaphylaxis. So that's where we run into the use of things like an EpiPen. Not everybody who has a food allergy needs an EpiPen. Not everybody who has a food allergy goes into anaphylaxis. So it could just be hives. It could be the swelling. It could be nausea. There's a whole host of things that it could be. If your symptoms are primarily gut symptoms, so if it's primarily like gas, bloating, diarrhea, that kind of stuff, that is typically not a food allergy. Generally, that's going to be something that's more of a sensitivity or an intolerance. So I was talking about that food allergy labeling. So any food that's sold here in the United States, it's a packaged food, must be labeled containing those top 9 allergens. And there's two different ways that companies can choose to put that allergen label on there. They can choose to just very clearly label it in the ingredient list. So for example, they can't say that the product contains whey. They specifically have to say that it contains whey, a milk derivative. So it has to have that word milk as the allergen. Or they can choose to put a contains statement. And that's what most companies do, is they'll have a contains statement. So if you look at a package of food, it'll say contains wheat and tree nuts, or contains eggs, milk, and sesame. And you might think that sesame is something that doesn't show up in a lot of foods because it's not something we typically cook with. But now most bread companies produce something within their line of products that contains sesame seeds. And because sesame seeds are so little and hard to clean from a machine, companies used to just have may contain sesame or nothing on their label at all. But now that sesame is mandatory as a labeled allergen, many bread companies have just intentionally added sesame into their foods, into their breads, into their products, so that they can just label it as it does contain sesame. So this has created some problems for families who are dealing with sesame allergies, because now there's almost no safe breads. And that may contain statement that you'll sometimes see on labels that say may contain milk, may contain egg, may contain wheat, those are optional. So the absence of a statement, a may contain statement, does not mean the absence of possible cross-contamination. So that's kind of the tricky thing about the may contains. It's nice to have them there, but if it's not there, it doesn't mean there isn't cross-contamination with something else. So that's where some of that labeling can get a little confusing and tricky, but everything that's in the product has to be pretty clearly labeled on there. We've gotten very good at reading labels in our house.
Right, and I know whenever you go out to eat or anything like that, you're good about asking for a menu or asking for a list of what is in some of these products.
And it sometimes feels like kind of a nuisance to have to ask, but everybody in town and most of the restaurants we've gone to have been great about, you know, cooking things. Like my 4-year-old can't even have cross-contamination of egg without developing a rash from it. So they're good about cooking it in a separate pan instead of on a flat top that has had eggs on it, things like that. But it's stuff that you don't really think about having to consider until you actually live the life of managing food allergies.
All right. I was looking at one of the statistics here. It says between 1997 and 2011, food allergies among children increased 50%. Now, at that point in time, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
It affects 6 million or 1 in 13 U.S. children. Why do you suppose why did it all of a sudden take off all of a sudden?
Well, that's such a great question, and there's a lot of theories around why that's happening.
Is it just that we're more aware of it now?
In part, we're more aware of it, right? We're just more aware and we test for it. But we also look at gut health, and there's a lot that's been associated with gut health, which we come back to every week.
To those processed foods, I bet.
And we do go back to those. And on top of that, there's something called the hygiene theory, which people get a little cautious about talking about. But it's this idea that we've become, we sanitize so much, we wash our hands so much, everything has to be so clean. So we're exposed to fewer things. And when we do that, there is the possibility of increasing things like food allergies. Now, that's not to say don't wash your hands, right? Cleanliness and hygiene is still important. But the amount of sanitization that we do with everything might be doing more harm than good. And we're just not getting exposed to, like, farms and things like that that everybody used to get exposed to.
Right.
Rural areas are less likely to have food allergies than urban.
That's good to hear.
It is.
All right. Well, if anybody has any questions on this subject or others regarding nutrition and their health, how could they find you?
You can find me online at imunutrition.com. That's imunutrition.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at imunutrition, or call here to Q92, call up to the clinic here in Madison. you can get a hold of me.
And we know where you live.
So and you know where I live.
That's right. We know where to find you.
That's right.
All right. Well, thanks, Amber. We'll talk to you again for another Taco Tuesday next week.
Thank you.